Appreciate that, Miss Melanie. If we would get out of the way, we would see a whole lot more of God and see what He's doing. Amen. Psalms chapter 52, I know what time it is. Just remind everybody that we don't have Sunday night service. This is the only service we have on Sunday morning. We have a nursing home service typically, but there's no nursing home today. So there's no time limit today. some people rolling their eyes, some people saying amen. I'm trying not to be long. We are going to have a fellowship as soon as this is over for our young folks. And so we're looking forward to that here in a minute. All right, Psalms chapter number 52. I've been going over the attributes of God and looking at each attribute individually each week and trying to remind us that we have a God that's unlike any other God. And that no matter what it is that we face or go through, we have a God that we can trust. We've got a God that we can count on. And if there's anything that we need today, it is a God that we can count on. And I've looked at the holiness of God, the knowledge of God, the immutability of God, the power of God, the faithfulness of God. And I want to look at another one this morning for just a few minutes. And this attribute we're going to look at this morning is probably one of the most well-known or one of the ones that we think about the most because we feel as if it's the one we benefit from the most. And we're going to look at it probably in a little bit different light than what you would normally think about it. I imagine that there may be more songs written about this attribute of God than just about any of His other attributes. And again, the reason is because we like this attribute because we feel like it benefits us the most. Now, all the attributes of God are beneficial to us. Every one of them are perfect. And we are thankful that we have a God that has all the attributes that He has. And I'm praying that through the series we understand and get a bigger picture of the God that we have. Our God is not small. Our God is not little. We have a big God. We have a great God. And we're looking at these different things. And the attribute this morning I want to look at was going to, our text verse is going to come out of Psalms chapter number 52. And so let's look there for just a moment this morning. Psalms chapter 52, it says to the chief musician, Mashkil, a psalm of David. This is the inscription at the top there. When Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David is come in the house of Ahimelech. And verse number 1 says, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. King David wrote an entire song about this man. He writes a lot of songs that are about himself. He writes a lot of songs that are strictly about the Word of God. He writes a lot of songs that are about God Himself. But David penned a song about a man. And he penned a song about a man by the name of Doeg. Now, Doeg was ordered by King Saul to kill a band of priests. We find out there in the inscription here about the time that this was done. In 2 Samuel 22 is where you'll read the story of where this takes place. But 2 Samuel 22:18 said, "And the king said to Doeg, 'Turn thou and fall upon the priest.' And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod." Now David's writing about this man. And he says in the first verse, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man?" So we understand by this and reading in 2 Samuel chapter 22 that Doeg was a boaster. He boasted about having killed and slaughtered a bunch of defenseless priests that had no swords, and he was bragging about what he had done. He's boasting about this mischief that he's been in. And I tell you, we live in a day today, thanks to social media, everybody gets to boast about their mischief. Everybody gets to boast about their sin. They get to boast about the wickedness they're involved in. They get to hit the like button on the things that they like to look at and are not godly at all. And they boast in those things. And David is saying, "Doeg, why are you boasting in this mischief?" And so he is writing a song about him. And you know, today we are still reading this psalm about Doeg. There's a lot of songs in the Bible, and there's a lot of things in our life, but how would you like for your life to be written in a song for eternity? Doeg was that man, but it was for all the wrong reasons. He was boasting in himself. And I want to say this morning that we should be ashamed to take credit for anything in our life. We should be ashamed to take credit of anything good or even anything bad. We should be ashamed of that. Doeg should have been ashamed for what he did, but instead he boasted about it. He walked around and told all of his mighty men, brothers, and all of his buddies about the fact that he just went in there and killed all those priests and was boasting about the thing. It continually surprises me how man will boast about their sin. But David's response to this, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man?" His response to this question is, "The goodness of God endureth continually." The goodness of God endureth continually. You say, how can David make a statement about the goodness of God on the heels of a bunch of priests getting killed? David's trying to tell us that no matter what, good, bad, wicked, or evil, God is forever good. God is forever good. And that's what I want to preach about this morning for a few minutes. What a contrast. We have the wickedness of man boasting in himself, full of pride. And on the other hand, we have the goodness of God. Even though those priests died, God lives forever. Their master still lives on forever. There in Psalms chapter 52 verse 5, David said, "God shall likewise destroy thee forever." Do you know what David understood? He understood even though Doeg was wicked, and even though he was a mischievous, boastful man, God was going to make all things right. And so in that fact, David understood that God was good. And I tell you this morning, church, we ought to modify any pride feelings that we have when we consider God and who He is and consider His goodness. We have nothing to be proud about. We have nothing to boast about this morning. God deserves all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Miss Melanie's second song, if you paid attention to the lyrics, went right along with this thought. When I'm talking about the goodness of God this morning, I'm talking about another attribute that is His very nature. God is good. God is good. The Bible says in John, 1 John 1:5, I've mentioned this in other messages, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is good. This is another one of His perfections in His nature. It lacks nothing, and there's nothing defective about it, and nothing can be added to it, just like the other attributes. God is good, period. God is good. The goodness of God. I want to say this as a way of introduction. God is the element of good. He's good of Himself. Not one of us could say that. Not one of us can say that we are good of ourselves. The only thing that is good about you is if you have communication and participation with God. Outside of that, there is no goodness. If there is, it's a false hope. If there is, it's a false goodness. You can try to have a smile on your face. You can try to live out in this world and try to act like you're happy all you want and good things happen. But I'm telling you, goodness comes from God. And peace and joy comes from God. He is the originator and the sustainer of good. If there's anything good in your life, it comes from God. And He ought to give the glory for it. We do not need to steal His glory in any way, shape, or form. God is not only the element of good, God is essentially good. He's not only good, but He is goodness itself. God is good. God is good in His very essence. He is infinitely good. We think about our goodness, it's just a little drop in a bucket. We think about God's goodness and the oceans couldn't contain God's goodness. We are so limited. We are so small, and we need to realize that and realize God is so big and we have to have Him. A man by the name of Manton said He is eternally and immutably good, for He cannot be less good than He is. As there can be no addition made to Him, so no subtraction from Him. God is the element of good. He's essentially good. But God is excellently good. God is not only the greatest of all beings, but He is the best. His goodness is not only good, it is the best good. It is the good that you and I need. God is good. All the goodness there is in God's creation came from the Creator. It came from God Himself. But God's goodness, it didn't come from anywhere. It wasn't derived from anywhere. It wasn't borrowed. It wasn't received. It's not a foreign substance that He got from a foreign source. It is in His very nature to be good. There's a lot of verses on this subject, and there's not time to look at them all. But God is good. The Bible said in Psalms 119:68, "Thou art good and doest good. Teach me Thy statutes." Goodness is who God is. Do you believe we serve a good God this morning? Now, I understand, and I said this at the beginning of the message, that there may be more songs written about the goodness of God than just about any other of His attributes. But we think of the goodness of God in the aspect of what He has given us or what He can do for us. And He is good in all those things. But His goodness is way bigger than your imagination. His goodness is way bigger than your world. And I'm thankful that we have a good God. We have a good God. God has in Himself an infinite and inexhaustible treasure of all blessedness. He's got enough goodness to fill everyone if they would allow it. To think for one moment that God is not good and He can't help you is a faulty way of thinking. God's got enough goodness to take care of whatever it is that you're going through. All that emanates from God, His decrees, His creation, His laws, His providences are good. The Bible said in Genesis 1:31, when He created everything, "And God saw everything that He hath made, and behold, it was very" what? "Good." That's because that's who He is. He's good. He's going to do all things right. He is a good God. Let me give you these four things very quickly, and we'll be finished this morning on the goodness of God. First of all, the goodness of God is seen in His creation. When you begin to look at creation and begin to study it, the more and more you can see the goodness of God. And I'll mention a few things here for just a moment, but one of God's highest quality things in God's creations, one of His highest creations is mankind itself. God created man for His pleasure. And the thought is always, are we giving Him pleasure? Are we giving Him pleasure? But God created man. The Bible said in Psalms 139:14, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God's goodness is demonstrated in His creation. His creation of mankind. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Do you believe that God doeth all things well? And He created us, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I wish I could tell every teenage boy and teenage girl in the entire world, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it does not matter one bit what anybody thinks about you. It doesn't matter what they think about your looks. It doesn't matter what they think about you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you're a child of God and He loves you. I wish we could explain that to them. I've given this illustration so many times, but I believe it rings true and it's something that paints a picture. These young mothers like to take their daughters and bring them up through pageants and different things, and they take them and put makeup all over them. And they decorate them up and they put all this makeup on them, even as a little child. And when they do that, they're telling that little girl that her natural beauty that God gave her is not good enough. You need to add something to it. And then they parade them in front of a bunch of people to be judged at a young age. I do not like that at all. I think that's damaging to a child's mind. And then they go the rest of their life seeking approval from somebody else. And they do that. And these young girls, they put that makeup on. And then when they get older, they have to have it because their face is messed up from all the chemicals that were put on their face. You ought to encourage your young people. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know who's going to whisper in their ear, you're ugly and you're no good, a liar, a deceiver? The devil. God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You say, what if I have a birth defect? I'm telling you, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And you are created for His pleasure and for His glory. And so give Him the glory, whatever it might be. Some people are born and they can't hear. Some people are born and they can't speak. Some people are born and they can't see. Some people have other birth defects and things that happen in their life. And you know what I say? To God be the glory. And that person was special enough that God thought that He could get glory out of their life. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I want to tell every young girl in this room that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't let any boy or anybody ever tell you anything different. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. We begin to think about the goodness of God when it comes to the structure of our bodies and think about the goodness of our Maker. Man, He has been so good to us. We think about all the things that He gives us. But why don't you think about the body that He's given us, that God's given us hands that we can work with and feet that we can walk with. And God's given us this to be able to sleep and to be able to get rest for our body. And God's given us eyelids and He's given us eyebrows for all you women that didn't shave them off and use a marker to put them back on. God's given us these things for our benefit and to help us. We think about the little things that we have all over our body that God gave us because of His goodness. You believe this morning that God does want the best for you? He wants the best for His children. We search for happiness. You know where happiness is found? It's found in a life submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. It could be crisis. It could be in sickness. It can be in any kind of devastating event in your life. But you still can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding if you're right in the middle of God's will. You say, I'm in the middle of God's will and this bad thing has happened, this sickness has happened, this has happened. If you're in the middle of God's will, then you're still in the middle of God's will. And you use it to give Him glory. God's goodness to us. When's the last time you bowed your head and thanked God for your eyelashes? It would be aggravating not having eyelashes. Kids, do not try this. But if you don't believe me, adults, cut them off. An eyelash. God's good, is He not? When He made us, He knew exactly what we needed. You say, well, I was born without eyelashes. God did it for His glory. Amen. And He'll help you. God is good. I'm just trying to get you to think about the goodness of God and His creation and thanking Him, not just for all the things He's done for us, but what He's already done and how He has been so good to His creation. He created us for His glory and His honor. Not only is His goodness confined to man, but it extends beyond to all of His creation. Psalms chapter 145 verse 15 says, the eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living creature. You're worried about the spotted owl? God created them way before you were along, and He's been feeding them ever since. Volumes of books have been written on this subject. But I'm telling you, the birds of the air, the beasts of the forest, the fish in the sea, God provides for them every single day because He is good to His creation. He's good to His creation. He supplies their every need. And there's verse after verse after verse on this subject. Here's two of them. Psalms 136:25. Who giveth food to all flesh? God. For His mercy endureth forever. Psalms 33:5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. God is not only good, and we can see it in His creation, but we can also see it in His care that He takes for us. The care that He takes for us. I began to think about this as I was studying this message and reading after some other men on the subject. And God began to put these images in my head to think about some things. You understand? In God's goodness, He could have given us food to eat that we couldn't taste that would sustain our body. I'm talking about changing your aspect of what you think the goodness of God is. But you know that when I bite into an apple, it tastes good. God didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do it where we would eat a banana or eat a fruit or eat a grape or a big old ribeye steak. Hallelujah. Amen. And it tastes good. God could have said, hey, you got to eat. And I'm sorry, it's not going to ever taste good. But in God's goodness, He cares for you and I. Now, I know that we say all the time that, you know, your lot in life is not happiness. You're not supposed to be on a pursuit for happiness. But I'm telling you, I'm thankful that God gives us some things we can enjoy. And the food that He creates for us and the things that He gives us. He does it because He cares about... When He created mankind, He put him in the garden for him to enjoy all of the garden. That's in His goodness. He wanted man to choose Him, but He gave him a place that he can enjoy. God not only gave us all of our senses for eating, but He gave us the sense of smell and the sense of sight. And every one of those things reveal His goodness towards us. What would you think about the earth if it was fertile without any color? What if we lived in black and white? That'd be a miserable place, would it not? But we have flowers and we have hills and we have the beauty of God's creation. And we can look and say, man, doesn't that look nice? And in that moment, we need to be reminded that God is good. God is good in His care for us, that He cares for us. We have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. When your wife comes walking out, she smells good. Got that perfume on. Say, praise the Lord. Thank God for His goodness. When you're outside and the birds are singing, they're singing, ain't God good to give us so many blessings, undeserving. That's what we are. We ought to love Him, praise and thank Him all the day long. I forget the words. The birds don't forget the words. But you hear that. You say, man, doesn't that sound good? And springtime's coming. We're going to see the flowers, the birds. God is good. God is good. I'm so thankful for it. The Bible said in Psalms 145:9, the Lord is good to all. And His tender mercies are over all His works. Not only do we see the goodness of God in His creation and in His care for His creation, but we see the goodness of God in His constraint. His constraint. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about when we transgress against our Creator. When we rebel against our Creator, we don't drop off into hell just like that. God's constraint. God would be justified if He would wipe us all out right now. He would be just. But I'm thankful that God doesn't give us what we deserve. And there's second chances and third chances and fourth chances. God has been very, very good to us, better than we ever deserved. James chapter 2 verse 13 says, for He shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Every person sitting in this room ought to be able to say, Lord, thank You for not giving me what I deserve. God, You've been good to me. God, I failed You. God, I haven't loved You like I should. I haven't witnessed like I should. But You've been good to me. And I want to say thank You for Your mercy and for constraining and holding back Your judgment. With some rare exceptions. And again, those exceptions, if they're in the center of God's will, there for His glory and honor. And sometimes we don't always understand it, but God knows. But with those very rare exceptions, most of us have had better days of health and better days of goodness than we have of sickness and that we've had of the pain. God has been good. And it's in those times that during the sickness, we can be reminded of God's goodness and how He can help us through whatever we are going through. I'm telling you this morning, not one of us in here can call God's goodness into question. You might think you can, but I'm telling you, you can't. You cannot call it into question. God is good. You say, what about all the suffering and all the pain in the world? I'm telling you, you cannot call His goodness into question. There's an answer for it. Now there's men and women that are in the will of God and they're serving God and things happen. And I've got verses, there's not time to go over all this, but God answered a question to His disciples about a young man's sickness from birth. And the disciples said, who sinned? Him or his parents? And the Lord said, neither, it's for My glory. Sometimes sickness comes and things happen so God can get the glory. So that somewhere down the line, somebody can look at you and say, man, you've got something I don't have. And you can have a peace that passeth all understanding. God can get the glory. Maybe somebody gets saved because of it. And God used you to be able to do that. But I'm telling you that more times than not, the sickness and the things that come upon this wicked, evil world is because man is desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2 very quickly. Romans chapter 2. The goodness of God. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. To find your place, if you would, say amen. Amen. If a man or a woman willfully, that means you know what you're doing, sins against the goodness of God, you're on dangerous ground. Romans chapter 2, verse number 4. It says, "Are despiseth thou the riches of His what?" Do you know this morning you could despise the riches of His goodness? "And forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteousness, judgment of God." Who is to blame if somebody forbears the goodness of God? And they won't allow God's goodness in their life to bring them to repentance. The wicked lifestyle they've been living, the addictions that they've had, the things they couldn't get rid of. God has spared you. God has been good to you. God has tried to hold your marriage together, your home together. He's been good to you. And because of that goodness, it ought to drive us to His feet. It ought to drive us to repentance. It ought to drive us to want to live for Him. But the alternative to that is found in verse 5, when they harden their heart. "Treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath." What does that mean? When you forbear the goodness of God, you neglect it, you take advantage, you willfully sin against the goodness of God, I'm telling you, you're storing up wrath. That's what the verse says. Would God be a good God if He didn't punish those that took advantage of His blessings? If they abused His benevolence, trampled on His mercies? I'm telling you, we have a good God, church. And we're going to stand before Him one day. If you're saved, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And it's going to be a sad day for some selfish people. If you're lost in here this morning, you're going to stand at the great white throne judgment. And you're going to give an account of everything you've done in your life. And you're going to give an account of what your works were. And I'm telling you, your works are filthy rags. It's only what's done for Christ. Only accepting Christ as our Savior. The goodness of God seen in creation, it's seen in His care for us. It's seen in His constraint. But last of all, the goodness of God is seen in Christ. It's seen in Christ. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." God's goodness is seen in the fact that He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, down to this earth, who became sin for us, who knew no sin. And He took my place on the cross of Calvary. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I am thankful this morning that I'm saved. I've said this before, and I pray that I continue to have this mindset that if God never did anything good for me, I still want to praise Him for eternity because I'm not going to hell. Amen. God's goodness is seen in Christ. I'm thankful for the goodness of God. Miss Sarah, you come to the piano. Turn to Psalms chapter 107, verse 8. Church, this morning, God is good. He's good for all the things He's done for us, but He's also good for who He is. Psalms chapter 107. Psalms chapter 107, verse number 8. The Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His what? For His goodness. And for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with what? Goodness. With goodness. Has God been good to you?" Amen. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. I want to leave you with this thought this morning, and we'll have an invitation. If God spoke to your heart, you come talk to Him. Maybe you want to come this morning and thank Him for His goodness. Maybe you haven't been grateful and thankful for what He's done. You know, I think at times that our praise and our worship to Him for His goodness is hindered by the fact that we take His goodness for granted. We are so used to waking up every day. We're so used to getting up, going through our routine. We're so used to going to work that we fail to appreciate His goodness. When every day of our life, in every breath that we take, is another example of the goodness of God. We take it for granted. It is lightly esteemed. We see, we breathe, we walk, we live. And I pray this morning, church, that we're not like this individual in Romans chapter 2 that despises the riches of His goodness. What is it that you've been complaining about? We have nothing to complain about, church. God's been good to us. His goodness is despised when it does not lead us to repentance. If you're here this morning and you have things in your life that are not right with God, and you understand how good He's been to you, it ought to lead you to repentance. Wouldn't it be much better if God's goodness towards you led you to get right with Him than for Him to have to send judgment in your life to get right with Him? There's many that have come, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. There's some that are down here. If God spoke to your heart this morning, would you do business with Him? God's goodness endureth forever. Therefore, we should never be discouraged. The Bible said in Nahum 1:7, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him." As all the other attributes, I want to tell you this morning, church, you can trust a good God. You can trust a good God. God is good. Spurgeon said, "We must never tolerate an instant's unbelief as to the goodness of the Lord. Whatever else may be questioned, this is absolutely certain that Jehovah is good. His nature is always the same." God is good. Amen. All right, you can look up here. Amen. Thank you for your patience this morning. I want a little bit longer, but I hope, church, I hope this is encouraging you to know that we have a God we can trust. Almost every one of these attributes, I think every one of them, we've had a verse that clarified to us whatever that attribute was, the holiness of God, the immutability of God, the knowledge of God, the power of God, all these attributes, the faithfulness of God, His goodness. We've had a verse that says, you can trust Him. You can trust Him.